3 is the text for tonight. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 15. And we are going down through verse number 17. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 15. We want everybody to open their book. Colossians chapter 3.
And let the peace
and let the peace of God
rule in your hearts.
Rule in your hearts.
To the which also
to the which also ye are called
in one body.
In one body.
And be ye thankful.
And be ye thankful. Now I want you to think about this, because God is calling everybody in one body.
Amen.
Now the body of Christ is the one body. The body is the church, and the church is the body. So when I talk about the body of Christ, I'm talking about the church of Christ, because the body and the church are one and the same.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at this body, he says we are called. Now, keep in mind that the church is what we call the ecclesia of God. Ek means out. Places means to call. So what is God doing with us? He's calling us out. He's calling us out of the world.
Amen.
Into Christ. Amen. He's calling us out of darkness into light.
Amen.
He's calling us out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. God is calling us out of unrighteousness into righteousness. Out of all that God has done, somebody ought to be thankful. What Paul is trying to get the Colossians to see, you need to understand where you came from. And then you can appreciate where you are. A lot of people cannot appreciate where they are because they really don't understand where they came from. If you've come from a place where the food was meager, let me put it right, and then it became mega. In other words, you just had a little bit of where you were, and you came into a lot. Won't you be thankful for where you are? And Paul is saying to the Colossian Christians, what the Lord has done for you when he called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, when he called you out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ, when he called you out of the world and brought you into righteousness, you ought to be thankful. Now, he's getting ready now to help them to show their appreciation and their thankfulness to God. He's getting ready to let them or to help them to see how they can express that thankfulness. You're going to see this as we go through the message. Now, notice verse number 16.
Let the word of Christ
dwell in you richly.
In all wisdom.
Teaching.
And admonishing one another. In psalms. And hymns. And spiritual songs. Singing. With grace in your heart.
To the Lord. to the Lord.
And whatsoever,
and
ye, do
whatsoever ye do.
In word.
In word.
Or deed.
Or deed.
Do all in the name,
do
of,
all
of,
in the
Lord
name of the Lord Jesus.
Giving thanks.
Notice he comes back to the same idea. Giving what?
Thanks.
Giving thanks.
To God.
To God. In other words, whatever you're going to do tonight, you ought to express it in your psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm going to sing tonight because I'm thankful. I'm going to praise God tonight because I'm thankful. I'm going to open my mouth and express my love to God tonight because I am thankful. Amen. Now, before you go anywhere, we're going to talk about soul music in the church. And I want you to understand, when I talk about soul music in the church, I'm not talking about Aretha Franklin. I'm not talking about Barry White. I'm not talking about Al Green. I'm not talking about all of these singers that love to say stuff like, I'm getting the spirit in the dark. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about these songs like James Brown, I got soul and I'm super bad. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about songs that will build my spiritual life. I'm talking about songs that will lift me up when I'm down. But not just lift me up, but lift me up to the Lord. Because when I direct my singing first of all must be directed to God. And somebody needs to understand tonight that when we sing, our first and foremost priority is to sing and please God. We didn't come here tonight to entertain each other. We didn't come here tonight to make each other feel good by how well we can sing. We've come here tonight to praise God. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Well, I'll be back to Colossians 3 before I close this message. Because somebody needs to understand what God has done for us. You remember John said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, for he is the propitiation for our sin. You just go on to Hebrews 13, I'll be there in a minute. He is the propitiation for our sin, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Now we need to understand that Jesus is the propitiation. He is the atonement. He is the justification for our sins. And because God sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, when we come together in one place, we've come here to tell God, thank you. Are you paying attention tonight? We didn't come in here to feel good, to leave out of here bragging and boasting about how well we did. We've come in here tonight to thank God for how well he's done us. So notice Hebrews 13 and verse 15.
By him therefore.
By him. Therefore,
let us offer,
the sacrifice of praise
to God continually.
That
is
the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips,
giving thanks,
giving thanks
to his name.
To his name. Now notice, we are going to continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God because of what Jesus has done for us. That's why he said, by him therefore, let us offer by Christ therefore. Well, if you don't believe it's by Christ, you hold that, I'll be back. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Everything we do in worship is by Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, in Christ, for Christ. Are you all paying attention? Notice in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5.
You also,
he also,
as lively stones,
are built up a spiritual house,
and holy priesthood,
to offer up spiritual sacrifices,
acceptable to God,
by Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that we offer up, is by Jesus Christ. Jesus made it possible for us. Jesus made it possible for worship. Jesus made it possible for salvation. Jesus made it possible for heaven. And because Jesus made it possible, whatever we do, we ought to do it by him. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
Well, now let's go back. We're living stones. We're lively stones. We're built up a spiritual house. We're a holy priesthood. We ought to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now that's why it is important that you understand when we come together to sing that our sacrifices ought to be spiritual sacrifices. Well, what does spiritual mean? It means non-carnal. Did you hear what I said? It means non-carnal. Well, what is carnal? Carnal is fleshly or worldly. We do not come in here and offer up carnal, fleshly, worldly sacrifices. That's why when we come together, our worship is spiritual.
Amen.
Worship.
Amen.
Because it feeds the soul of man. Well, I really tonight could talk about this word, suke, this word for soul. Because within your soul, your emotions are in your soul. Believe it or not, in your soul, you love, you hate, you laugh, you frown, you smile, in your soul. Now I need to share this with you. Don't mean anybody any harm, and don't get mad with me because perhaps you haven't seen it before. Most of the time, when we talk about man being made in the image and likeness of God, we usually say he's made in spirit like God. Isn't that right? Well, that's true. I'm not knocking it. I'm not kicking it. I'm for it. Because it's true. It's true. But did you not know that God is soul? Well, don't dry up on me now. Now we don't need you up in here drying up on us. I want you to see that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Well, go over to the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18. I just want to share some of these things. I'll be finishing a little bit because what I need to do, I need to show us how we get connected. Now, most of us know Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Isn't that right? Male and female created he them and blessed them. Well, now listen. We are made in God's image and we are made in God's likeness. Now most of us know that John 3:24 says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18.
Behold.
He said, behold.
My servant.
My servant.
Whom I have chosen.
Whom I have chosen.
My beloved.
My beloved.
In whom my
in
soul.
In whom my
soul.
Soul.
Is well pleased.
Is well pleased. Now who do you think this prophecy is referring to? It's referring to God and Christ. Notice again. Read it again. We're going to let it register.
Behold.
Behold.
My servant.
My servant.
Whom I have
whom
chosen.
I have chosen.
My beloved.
My beloved.
In whom.
In whom.
My soul.
My soul.
Is well pleased.
Is well pleased. You see, sometimes you will hear God say something like this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. You will hear God say that my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Sometime you will hear God say, my spirit. And then sometime you will hear God say, my soul. Oh, y'all don't believe it. I know when folk don't get it. Go to Hebrews 10 and verse 28. I'll work on it a while. Oh, yes, I will. Now, what I want somebody else to do is go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and verse number 30. I'm just going to see this thing for what it is. Go back to Leviticus 26 and verse number 30. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28, I want you to see what the book says. Are you there? The book said,
he that despised Moses' law.
Hebrews 10 verse 38, I'm sorry. 38. That's young folks say, my bad. 38.
No.
Ain't that alright?
Yeah.
Now watch this.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Shall live by faith.
But if any man
draw back
my soul shall have no pleasure.
Shall have no pleasure
in him.
Lord have mercy. What did God say?
My soul.
Shall have no pleasure in him. All I'm trying to get you all to see is simply this. When God talks about my spirit, my soul, we are talking about God who is God. God is seen as spirit and God is seen as soul. God made man a soul being, a spirit being, and a fleshly being. But man, fleshly being, is not in the image and likeness of God. It's man, spirit and soul beings that's in the spirit and the likeness, come on, image and likeness of God. Now if I have to work on it some more, I'll do that. Well, I went to Leviticus 26 and 30. It's been a while since I read it. You know, I told you all, I preach like my wife shouts. I throw some stuff in here, not on the list. Well, let's see what that passage says.
And I will destroy
and
your
high
places.
And I will destroy your high places.
And cut down your images.
And cut down your images.
And cast your carcasses
upon the carcasses of your idols.
And my
and
soul.
Shall abhor you. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
That word abhor means to hate. My soul will hate you. That's literally what it means. In other words, God said when people don't follow him. I know what you just thinking. You mean to tell me God hates? Honey, there's a time to love and there's a time to hate.
Yeah.
Did you catch what I just said? I thought you said was God is love. Yes, he is all the time. But God also wants you to understand, as he's a God of mercy, he's also a God that will bring retribution upon the disobedient.
Amen. Amen.
That's all he's trying to show us. If you follow me, I'll bless you. If you reject me, I'll curse you. That's why the Bible can say things like, I created the light, I formed darkness and created evil. In other words, there is no evil in God, but since everything comes from God, God allows some things to happen. And we need to understand that. So the Lord is trying to tell us, when it comes down to it, man has a soul. And sometimes your soul gets troubled. You don't believe it? Jesus' soul was troubled. Go to John chapter 12 and verse number 27. The Bible is right. And we need to see it. And when my soul gets troubled, I need something for my troubled soul. That's why when I can just sing like God wants me to sing, man, that's soul music. Amen. Isn't that all right? Oh, yes, the Bible is right. Watch him here. The book says, no, John 12 and 27.
Now is my soul troubled.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Jesus has a soul?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, I could go over to Luke chapter 21 and verse 19 and tell you the Bible said, in your patience, possess ye your soul. James chapter 1, 21, wherefore laying apart all filthiness and filthiness of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. 1 Peter 1 and 22. I'm telling you, the Bible is right. And we need to understand that the Bible is right. The soul is all through the Bible because man possesses a soul.
Amen.
Jesus had a soul. Now is my soul troubled. Your soul can be troubled. What shall I say?
And what shall I say? Father.
Father.
Save me from this hour.
But for this call came I unto this hour. Jesus was troubled.
Yeah.
His soul was troubled. And every now and then we get trouble. Oh, we talk about it. We could just have a little talk with Jesus. Isn't that right? Well, more so than that, if we can just sing about Jesus. That'll help us too. Isn't that right? If we can just stop thanking God for what he's done for us through Jesus. I mean, that'll lift us up. That's why we don't have to go around here, man, like we are the most pitiful people in the world. We don't have to walk around here with our heads down like something is wrong. Honey, we can lift up our eyes unto the hill from whence cometh our help, because we know that the Lord is on our side. I need the church of Christ to understand something. Just because all of these churches, man, are beating and banging and they seem to be having a good time, what you need to understand is this. Our singing is non-carnal. Our worship to God is not worldly. We are not interested in the band and all of that stuff. We are interested in what God has commanded for us to do. We want to be like them. They had that problem in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 5. They wanted to be one of the king like the nations around them. And they rejected God trying to be like them. I don't want to be like them. I want them to be like me. That's why I keep pushing. That's why I keep preaching. That's why, man, I try to pray to God to let my preaching get stronger and stronger every night. And don't cut me down, cut me up. Isn't that all right? You know how they do. Oh, he's getting loud. Honey, let me get loud. You know what a bridge is, don't you? What if the bridge was out and somebody came, man, you riding this dog. You know, there's some dog rolls over here. And somebody said, the bridge is out. The bridge is out. And then you get up on that, boom, 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 boom. You escape. Your life is protected. And then somebody else comes down the road. The same bridge you went over. And escape. I'll guarantee you, when somebody else comes, you'll get up and say, the bridge is out. Come on now, talk back to me. The bridge is out. Don't turn me down. Turn me up. And when people don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, the bridge is out. He's our bridge over sin into salvation. I'm telling you, the bridge is out for people who don't know God. Somebody needs to holler loud. Oh, I go to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 1. I heard God tell Isaiah, spell out, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Israel their sins. Isn't that right? The Bible is right. Jesus' soul was troubled. I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to sing. When I look at music in the Bible, there are two kinds of music. There is number one, what we call mechanical instruments of music. And there is what we call number two, vocal or a cappella music. Now when we visit it, in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, he said, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit
of our lips,
giving thanks
to his name.
Now I'm going to work on this until I finish tonight, and then I'll take my seat. I want to work on it thoroughly. Because I have another message I need to preach on tomorrow night. So I need you to stay with me. God's word is right. Now, when it comes down to music, I said there are two kinds of music. We have mechanical instruments of music. That's called instrumental music. And then we have vocal music. And vocal music is done with the lips. But I'm not finished. Go over to Romans chapter 15 verses 5 and 6. I want to work on this thing. Now I'm going to go back to this word music in just a moment to make a few illustrations. But right now, in Romans 15 and verse 5.
Now the God of patience and consolation, grant you
to be like-minded
one
toward another
according to Christ Jesus
that ye may be with one mind and one mouth.
Glorify God. Even the Father.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, we are going to use something to glorify our God. He said, one mind. In other words, wait a minute, your heart must be right. And I tell people all the time, you cannot have wrong doctrine and produce a right heart. It takes right doctrine to produce a right heart. It takes right information to produce a right heart. It doesn't matter what other people say. If your information is incorrect and you obey incorrect information, then your heart is incorrect. because your information was incorrect. That's why Paul could say in Romans 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin, unto death, of obedience, unto righteousness. But God,
be
thanked that ye were
the servants of,
the servants of sin,
but ye have obeyed,
but ye have obeyed
from the heart,
that form, of doctrine
which was delivered you,
being then
made free from,
sin,
ye became the,
servants of righteousness. Now notice, if you yield yourselves servants to sin, Satan is your master. If you yield yourselves servants to righteousness, then Christ is your master.
That's right.
If you follow sin, you die. If you follow righteousness, you live. Well, what's the difference in following righteousness and following sin? The difference is right here, is in the right doctrine. If the doctrine is right, you follow righteousness. If the doctrine is wrong, you follow sin. Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered
you.
Being then. When?
Then.
When you obey
from
the heart, what?
That form of doctrine.
If the doctrine is not right, then your heart cannot be right.
Amen.
And I need to make this thing as plain as I can make it, because a whole lot of people don't know what sin is. Anytime you violate any doctrinal position of the scripture is sin. And we have to make this plain. People get upset, but we have to tell them the truth anyway. Isn't that right? Now notice, with one mind, that's one heart, and one mouth, we glorified God. Now notice, we use our lips. Isn't that right? And then we use our mouths. God is working on something. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. God is working on something. And I need to show you what God is working on. God is trying to help us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Are you in Ephesians 5 and verse 19? The Bible said,
speaking to yourselves in psalms
and hymns
and spiritual songs
singing
and making melody in your heart,
to the Lord. We use the mouth, we use the lips, we use the heart. When it comes down to singing soul music, we use the lips, we use the mouth, and we use the heart. I'm not going to go through all of this stuff about heart, a cardia, and all of that. What I want you to see is this. The Bible says, making melody in
your heart.
Now, I need to work on this, because you need to understand. When he says, make melody. Now, this make melody actually comes from this word, psilo. Now, this word, psilo, it means to pluck, to rub, to twang.
Yeah.
on a string instrument. Now, I'm not running away from it because I have to tell the truth. I have to tell you what it means. But you see, God put the instrument in the human that God wants you to rub, to twitch, to twang, to pluck. Oh, I wish I had some more action words. Isn't that all right? Oh, yes, God put it in you. What he wants you to twitch, twang, pluck, and rub. God said, make melody, make psalo in your heart. God gave you an organ, and that organ is called the heart. God didn't give us this human organ. He gave us, I'm talking about the man-made organ that they pipe on and they play on. God put one in us called the heart. Now words, and I'm not trying to be smart, but you have to understand words based upon the culture and the time in which words were used. And sometimes words over periods of time change in meaning. But every time you read a word, you have to read that word in the contextual setting in which it is given. Now, God may say, make melody. Don't you conclude because he said, make melody, you make it on a harp. Or Larry. Or some other guitar. Yeah. I use those because those are string instruments. Now, what I want you to understand is that don't just conclude that he meant something, because words, you have to watch them in the setting in which they are given. Now, if I were to say to you, let's say I use this word fast. Now, I have to demonstrate what I mean when I say fast. Because fast has several meanings. Now, if I said to you, I'm going on a fast, then you know I'm not going to eat. If I said to you, Brother Carl Mitchell surely can walk fast. Now, you know we're not talking about eating. Now, if I said that little girl is fast. Y'all got that? I used this one word fast and gave it three different meanings. Isn't that right? So when you look at this, make melody in your heart, you have to determine what the meaning is based upon the sentence in which it is given. Go back to the book of Amos chapter 5 and verse 23. Let me show you. You see, the best illustrations are in the Bible. And all we have to do is stick with the Bible and we will be all right. Because I know a lot of people are having problems with musical instruments in worship. I know a lot of people are looking at us, man, and saying, I don't know why they won't get them a piano up in that church. Well, honey, let me tell you something. The way we praise God, a piano will mess us up. Yeah, you heard what I just said. It will mess us up. Because it will take us from the spiritual to the carnal. And we don't want to be carnal. We don't want to sit off up in here like we at some reggae concert. Well, you all do have music in your house, don't you? That's at my house. You all have it in your car, don't you? That's in my car. Let me tell you what else I have in my house. I have sweet potatoes in my house. I have hot links. Those are sausages in my house. And when I get ready to eat in my house, I eat it in my house. Every man is the head of his house. So what I want to eat in my house, That's what I eat. But when I come to Christ's house, Christ is the head over. I'll be at Amos in a minute. I'm working on something. You read Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Now in Christ's house, Christ tells us what to eat. In my house, if I want fish, I eat fish. Pork chops, I eat pork chops. Ham, I eat ham. Whatever I want in my house. But when it comes down to Christ's house, I can't bring my pork chop. I would love to have them on the communion table every Sunday. My blood pressure would be up. But every Sunday we would have it. But this is Christ's house. So if I want mechanical music in my house, that's my house. But when I come to his house, he tells us how to sing. Oh, I'm going to Hebrews 2:12 in a minute, but let's get Amos quickly. Let's get Amos quickly. Amos chapter 5 and verse number 23. The Bible said,
Take thou away from me. The noise of thy song.
The noise of thy
song.
Song.
For I will not hear.
I will not hear.
The melody of thy voice.
The melody
of thy vows.
Did you hear it? What did God say he would not hear?
Melody of his voice.
Wait a minute. Under the old covenant, he said, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear your melody of your vine. I don't want to hear the melody on your harp. I don't want to hear the melody on your string instrument. I don't want to hear that melody. But in the New Testament, he said, make melody in your heart. Amen. Now it takes some expert help to miss this. You want to read that again?
Take thou away from me.
Now, wait a minute. What does take away mean?
That's right.
Oh, act like you're not reading it like we see it. Take thou away from me.
The noise of thy song.
I don't want to hear all that noise. Honey, when we come to worship, God doesn't want noise. The Bible says speaking. Noise. He doesn't want noise.
Amen.
He wants speaking.
Amen.
Speaking. Laleo means to articulate words.
Amen.
Speaking. It's the same word for say. S-A-Y. It's the same word for tell. T-E-L-L. I'm trying to make it plain. God wants us saying something.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I give thanks to God by saying something. God wants me telling him something. I give thanks to God by telling him something. I say, Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Thank you.
Amen.
Now look. God knows what you were thinking and he knows you didn't say anything. Isn't that right? Man, it's sad that I have to go through it like this to get people to see. But I have to do it.
Amen.
And then I hear these people. I'm coming to Hebrews in a minute. I hear these people talking about, well, honey, they have hearts in heaven. You know what I tell them? Well, if they have hearts in heaven, then wait till you get to heaven and play on them. But right now, he says, speaking. Go to Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to show you, these folk don't know what they're talking about. They got harps in heaven. I'm going to show you what they are. Oh, don't be up in here. Wear it. The Bible is right. It's going to back us up. Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 8.
And when he had taken the book.
He had taken the book.
The four beasts. And
24 elders.
Fell down before the Lamb. The Lamb. Having every one of them. Harps.
What did they have?
Harps.
Everyone had what?
Harps.
Don't forget that everyone had what?
Harps.
Now watch this.
And golden
and
vials.
They had harps and what? Golden vials. Now watch, read. The book said?
Full of odors.
Full of odor.
Which are the prayers of
God. Wait a minute. Which are the prayers?
Of the saints.
Of the saints. What did they have? They had harps. Vials full of odors, which are the prayers
of the saints.
Now wait a minute. A harp has a melodious sound. Incense has a smell. And when that all come up in the nostrils of God, it's a savor that he's pleased with. But he tells us exactly what the harps and the vials are. They are the prayers of the saints. In other words, when we talk to God, that sounds good in his ears. When we talk to God, it comes up as a sweet savor in his nostrils. In other words, he explains to us what this is. These are not literal harps. Did you catch it? That symbolical language, it represents the prayers of the saints. Now watch this. He's going to do two things. Because throughout the New Testament, prayer and singing are coupled together. We pray, they are praying in verse 8. But watch what they do in verse 9.
And they sung a
new song.
A new song.
So what are they doing? They are praying
and singing.
Well, you think that's an accidental, coincidental? Go to 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Go to James chapter 5 and verse number 13. We're going to get some Bible rolling up in here. Praying and singing are coupled together. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then?
Read. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit.
Somebody needs to understand. Our prayers are with understanding. And our singing is with understanding. God is not telling us beat, beat, beat. You know what that book says? Sing. Are you in James chapter 5 verse 13? You go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Let's see what the Bible says. James chapter 5, I'll wait on you. Is any among you? I can't wait all night. 5:13.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray.
Now you know that's the normal thing to do when you're down and out, isn't it? And when you're afflicted, what you do?
Pray.
You pray.
Is any merry?
If you're merry, what you do?
Sing psalm.
What you do?
Sing psalm.
You sing psalm. Man, when you're afflicted, you pray. When you're merry, you sing. Yeah. All I'm showing you, God, couple, singing and praying. Wait a minute. Read that again.
Is any among you afflicted?
Is any among you afflicted?
Let him pray.
Let him pray.
Is any merry?
Is any merry?
Let him sing psalms.
Isn't that S-I-N-G?
Yes, sir.
Sing what?
Psalm.
Song. You go to Acts chapter 16 and verse a number 25, and you go to Matthew 26 and verse 30. We're going to work this out. Are you in Acts 16:25?
Yeah.
The Bible says,
And at midnight,
Paul and Silas prayed.
And sang praises. Unto God.
Unto God.
And the prisoners heard them.
And the prisoners heard them. Now what do we have coupled together?
The prayed.
Praying.
And the sang.
And sang. Now is that S-A-N-G?
Yes.
All right, let's go a little further. Now I'm working on something. I said I'm working on something. James said, sing. Paul and Silas sang. Well, in Matthew 26 and verse 30.
And when they had
sung. And when they had sung.
And him.
And him.
They went out.
They went out.
Olives.
Into the Mount of Olives. Now is that S-U-N-G song? The Bible says sing. Sing. Song. Men say bing, bang, boom. Too good to pass. The Bible said, sing, sing, song. Man says, pling, plang, plong. Now what you want to do? Do you want to sing, sing, song, or ping, ping, pong? Ping, ping, pong, that's noise. Sing, sing, song, that's speaking. Now notice, in our opening text, I'm still going to Hebrews 2:12, but not yet. In our opening text of Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Wait a minute. If I had time, I would tell you that the Father is in you. I would tell you that the Son is in you. I would tell you that the Holy Spirit is in you. I would tell you that the Word of God is in you. Now, if all of that is in you, you ought to have enough in you to praise God. Come on now. I don't need anything outside of me. It's enough in me to praise God. Well, you know, we need a little help. Can we get a drum? I don't need any help. God put me together as a human being, made in His image, made in His likeness, and He gave me everything I need to praise Him with. Don't need anything else. Are you there? Hebrews 2:12. I said I'd come back to it. And I'm going back to Colossians 3.
Sing.
Sing.
I will declare.
I will declare thy name
unto my
unto my brethren
in the midst
of the church.
Will I sing praise?
Will I sing praise
unto thee?
Unto thee. Now wait a minute. Where is this singing, Jesus? Going to take place
in the midst of the church.
In the midst of the church. In other words, when the church comes together, God wants some singing.
Amen.
Now, if you all don't mind, that's congregational singing. Did you catch it? I just thought I'd say that. Where is he going to do this singing?
In the midst of the church.
In the midst of the church. You see, some translations say in the midst of the congregation. And that's fine. Because we know that the people of God ought to come together. And when they come together, they ought to sing. Now watch this. Watch this. People say, well, you know, Psalms, that's Old Testament. And they play. And now you all saying sing song without playing. Well, if God wanted us to play, He would have taught us to play. The Holy Spirit has all knowledge. He searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, He didn't forget the word play at all. He used it where He wanted to use it. Now, He could have said to us in 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Listen to that word with. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He could have said, I will pray with. Isn't that right? Couldn't He have used the word play? Oh, you all don't believe it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. We'll start at verse 7. I know when folk don't believe me, they're hesitant.
Neither be ye idolaters.
Neither be ye idolaters.
As were some.
As were some of them.
As it is written.
As it is written.
The people sat down.
The people sat down.
To eat and drink.
Eat and drink.
And rose up.
And rose up.
To play.
So if He wanted us to play, He would have said it. His vocabulary is big enough to use that little word, play. He didn't want us to play. He wants us to sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. They say, well, you know, Psalm 150, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Well, that's true. I say that's true. Now you know for yourself a piano does not have breath. Now come on, let's be real. A trumpet does not have breath. A banjo, a drum, a dip fiddle, or whatever you call it, is a dead instrument. Won't make a sound unless you mess with it. Don't be trying to twist the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Jesus fulfilled the Psalms. What does that mean, preacher? It simply means that everything about the Psalms, Jesus nailed it to the cross. Well, why they say Psalms in the Old Testament? Because in the New Testament, because God wants you to understand it's the lyrics, it's the words of the song that we sing. Did you catch it? It's the words of the song, not the playing of the instruments. Well, how do I know that? Let me help you. You remember Hebrews 2:12 we just read? Now watch, this is a prophecy. I want you to get this saying. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing. Huh? Sing what? You got it? Now that comes from Psalms 22 and verse 22. Now, why didn't he bring the string instrument in Hebrews 2:12? Oh, act like you can't see. That would have been easy for him to do. I will sing and play. But he didn't do that. Go to Luke 24:44. I'm trying to close. Because I got to go back to Colossians 3. I got to go back to my text. before I complete the message. The Bible is right. Are you there? The book says.
And he said unto them.
And he said unto them.
These are the words.
These are the words.
Which I speak unto
which
you.
Which I spake unto you.
While I was yet with you.
While I was yet with you.
That all things
that
must
all
be fulfilled.
Things must be fulfilled.
Which were written in the law
minute,
of Moses.
Wait a minute. You see that word fulfilled? That means to come to an end. Did you catch it? All of the things are going to come to an end. Be fulfilled.
Which were written in the law of Moses.
In the law of Moses.
And in the prophets.
And in the prophets.
And in the Psalms.
And in the Psalms concerning me. Now what do you think Psalm 22:22 had reference to? That was concerning Jesus. Isn't that right? So what did he say he would do in the midst of the church? Sing, not play. And let me tell you what singing does for us. I know what it does for God. It glorifies God. I know what singing does for God. We give God praises. But what does it do for us? Oh, you mean to tell me? We have a sister at our church named Sister McConnor. And when I first went to that church, man, Sister McConnor told them folks, she said, us got us a preacher now. She used that us word. She said, oh, yeah, us going to have us a good time. Oh, that's how she talks, you know. She's about 86, 87. It's us. In other words, what I'm getting ready to tell you tonight, us know what us talking about. Because us read it in the Bible. The Bible is right. When it comes down to it, Jesus fulfilled the Psalms. What does singing do for us? Colossians 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Teaching.
Diasco. Teaching. Instructing, edifying, teaching. What does singing do? It teaches. Every time we sing, we teach. Jesus gave his life for a ransom yonder on Calvary. Now, what did you just learn? What you learn from that? Jesus gave his life yonder on Calvary. That's what singing does for us. It teaches. Why do you think when that Philippian jailer heard Paul and Silas praying and singing, they wanted some more of it? Because whatever the song was, I knew they understood it. Isn't that all right? Man, that's good news. I don't know what Paul was singing, but you know, Paul may have been singing Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Paul could have been saying he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I don't know. He could have been saying, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I don't know what Paul could have been singing. He could have been singing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Even the wicked, my enemies, when they came up, my foes came upon me, they eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. And I think, Paul, if you're going to sing one, that should have been the one. Your enemies had you locked up in jail. If you're going to sing one, I think Psalm 27 would have been appropriate down in that Philippian jail. What about you? Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. I got to get you to get it. Paul's enemies blocked him up. And I know if I were Paul, I would have been singing Psalm 27 and Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off like the grass, the green herb, with a Lord. I'd have been singing Psalm 37 loud and long. Now watch this. Where's Paul and Silas? In jail, right? So now you think the jailer have them in jail. Say, hey, Paul, you want a harp? Want a harp to play on? You think his enemy would help him praise his God? Oh, now come on. You see it? And people say they see it, man. I'm finished. That's what I preach for, get folks to see it. And when they see it, I can sit down. I think I've completed my mission. What our singing does for us, it teaches. Yeah. Yeah. Did you get it?
Yes, sir.
Not only does it teach, but the Bible says it admonishes.
And admonish one another.
Now what does admonish mean? Admonish simply means to warn, to rebuke. Sometimes it tells us if we don't do what we're supposed to do, God's going to get us. So God warns us. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's going to rain. But when they paid Noah no mind, when the rain came, they were left behind. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. But it won't be water. But fine next time. Man, that ought to be telling me right now, I better get to Jesus because I can't stand the fire. So we get admonished when we sing. It helps some crooked church members straighten up. I said it helps some wayward Christian member to come home. When they get the proper warning and the proper rebuke, they see I need to make my way back home. And I'm here to tell you, I thank God that music in the church is music for my soul. Oh yes, one day my soul is going to leave this body. And you know, death is a separation. But the ultimate death is an eternal separation. And that's why when it comes down to music, you gotta make sure that you do what God wants you to do. Don't let people tell you that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. Music is a general term, just like wood is a general term. And you have to be specific when you talk about what kind. When God told Noah to build an ark in Genesis 6:14, God specified. He didn't just say, Noah, make thee an ark of wood. No, no. God said, gopher wood. That tells me that God didn't want any other kind of wood because he told him about a specific kind of wood. When it comes down to singing in the church, God doesn't just want music. He wants a specific kind of music. He wants vocal music. He wants us to use our lips, our mouths, and make melody in our hearts. I think that's enough. If you have any questions, please ask them. Because mechanical instruments of music, number one, is not by faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no New Testament passage that teaches us that we ought to use mechanical instruments of music. I close with this. Three things that I think every person needs to understand when it comes down to the kind of music. Number one, since God told us to hear Jesus, did Jesus command it? Remember he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28:18-20, he came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, watch this, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Wait a minute. What were they to teach? All things that Jesus what? Commanded. The question is, where did Jesus ever command them to teach mechanical instruments of music? Good question, isn't it? Question number two. You remember? He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. John 14:26. And shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, whatever Jesus taught them and they forgot, the Holy Ghost was going to remind them. Now, where did the Holy Ghost ever remind them to use and teach mechanical instruments of music? Question number three. It's the final one and I'm finished. Second Timothy 3. Paul said to Timothy in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly fully, unto every good work. Where in New Testament scripture did he ever teach mechanical instruments of music? Listen, I could have just used those 3 points and taught this message. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go through all of that so that you can see beyond a shadow of doubt that God wants you to sing. Not play, not pluck. Sing. Now, if there has been an instrument made that can praise God better than the lips, I'm sure God will say, play it. If there is an instrument made that can glorify God better than the mouth, I'm sure God will say, play it. If there is an instrument made that can express our love to God better than the heart, I'm sure God would tell us, play it. What did God give us when he gave us Jesus? Did he give us the best? If God gave us the best, why do you think he would want less than the best out of us? So if there's a mechanical instrument that can do better than what God created, that tells me man can make some stuff better than God. What's wrong with the world? I know what it is. The world has a sin problem. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God knew that if your knowledge is not what it ought to be, you won't serve him the right way. You've heard the word. You ought to believe it. I'm finished. Repent of your sins tonight. Come down these aisles. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then be baptized. And let me tell you good people something. Somebody may say, well, I've been baptized one time. That's not what it means. One law, one baptism doesn't mean one time. It means one time. There is only one kind that saves. Because people in the Bible got baptized more than one time because the first time was not right. That's Acts 19, 1 through 5. Why did they get baptized again? Because the first time they were taught wrong. But the second time, they were taught right. My question is, when you got baptized the first time, I tell the truth. Did you really know what you were doing? See, people just tell the truth. I remember when the matriarch of the Kennedy family died, Mrs. Rosalind Kennedy. I was watching her funeral over the television. And the narrator, when he started speaking, he said, Mrs. Rosalind Kennedy, the matriarch of the Kennedy family, was baptized in this same cathedral 102 years ago. She was 102 when she died. I'm trying to help somebody. She was 102 when she died. Well, if she was baptized 102 years ago, that tells me as a baby, as an infant, they sprinkled some water on her. She was not taught, she didn't believe, she didn't repent, and she did not confess. So that baptism was not scriptural. Now, you could have been 12. As a matter of fact, you could have been 25. Help me, preacher. Or 50. If the teaching did not precede the baptism, I'm telling you, you're just like Mrs. Kennedy. You got sprinkled, you got baptized, but it was not scriptural. So come on to Jesus. Song leader ready. The church is ready. Somebody ought to say, yes, I'm finished. I'm finished. Y'all ever heard of Elizabeth Taylor, the actress? They tell me when she married her fifth husband, she said, hurry, let's hurry up and get this over lest I keep you too long. So, brother, come on, stand. Let's sing this song, lest I keep them too long.